the Buzz 24/7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
Okay. All right. Hello, 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 hello. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Buzz 24/7 exclusive post-show podcast. The show ended just a little bit ago, still marveling at Kelly Brown.
I went to a show last night, Jimmy.
Jimmy Dunn in studio with us.
MGM, you know, bands like Lorna Shore, it's like all heavier bands. And I told them earlier this morning that I loved it because one of the bands gets on stage and they're like, all right, this song is about killing somebody and making furniture out of them. This is called throw pillow, skin throw pillow. And I'm the only one laughing. And then two songs later, this song's about murdering somebody with a vehicle. It's called Murdering Somebody with a Vehicle. And I was like, this is the best band ever. I love this band.
Now, this is a guy, so you know, Jimmy, yeah, one of the early formations of rock bands that Roadkill has been a part of. One of my favorite, and this is dirty, so prepare yourself.
This is pre-Gods Go First.
Pre-Gods Go First. I believe this was the either the DCM or
should
the
be Recognizer.
Diecast Messiah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which was the DCM and Recognizer. And one of the ballads on the album, True, forgive me for saying this, Come Knuckle.
Yep. All right. So we had that song, and we had Fecal Asphyxiation.
Yeah.
And we had 130 pounds overweight because one of the guys dumped his girlfriend.
Yeah.
And you're 130 pounds overweight.
Get yeah. So
listen, I as a fellow artist,
yes,
I just say, you know, this is writing 101. You write what you know.
Yeah, you write what you know.
Yeah,
you know.
If I got up there and did anything else, they'd go, he's lying his way through it.
Right.
But just to, you know.
Right. He's not like Springsteen singing about a car that won't start.
This song's about, you know, killing somebody with a vehicle. It's called Killing Somebody with a Vehicle. You know what?
Very honest.
Play to your crowd. That pit was going, and I was standing there with the two ladies just laughing my ass off.
Daughter.
I love this
your
bit.
Daughter.
My daughter and her girlfriend, yeah, Jill, went, and I just laughed my ass off.
I would have loved to see that show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how are the harmonies? Did they have harmonies?
There wasn't much of that.
Well, no harmonies.
No.
Do any heavy metal songs actually have harmony?
Some do.
Name a heavy metal band that harmonizes. So more than one voice, you know, harmonizing.
Yeah, but I see, in a lot of metal, you'll get like a guy that might be singing and then another band member growling. So you could be singing.
Not one harmonizing.
That's in the metal world.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, doesn't Metallica kind of harmonize?
Sometimes.
They can, jar and some of those songs.
But you know what, though? I don't think Metallica is in the same category.
No.
Metallica is hard rock, no question.
Yes.
Scotty sees heavy metal growlers and yellers, and you know what I mean? That's the different genre, I think, right? Don't you think?
Oh, yeah,
is Metallica,
absolutely,
technically, they are heavy metal.
Sure.
Metallica started out as a thrash band and then made billions upon billions of dollars. And they realized that if we tame the music down, bring it down a couple notches, not only do we get the guys, we get the guys and their girlfriends. So instead of selling 10 tickets, we're selling 20. So they realized, hey, if we're going to go out on the road and put years of time into this, let's make money at it.
Yeah.
And they mastered it.
Also, didn't they? I mean, don't they get bands get crap because they mature?
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like,
sometimes a band, Metallica did it. They cut their hair off. They became very, very artsy fartsy in their look, cut their hair off, started wearing makeup. And then you'd see a video of Lars.
How did they get artsy fartsy?
Well, Lars is sitting at a table and he's bidding, you know, $10 million for this painting. And some of the fans went, I liked them better when they were young, angry, broke. And they just became, the album covers were a little non-metal looking.
I think that's
became
such
became a business.
I think, no, but you know what though? I think it's bullshit.
Mm.
I it really.
That a guy can't grow up?
Well, the if he finds, look, we all find new things in our lives as we move forward. Like if you ask me, 25 years ago, would I ever be listening to classical music? I would have said, no, probably not. But I do, because it serves a different purpose for me now. And you find other things in art to like.
Sure.
Well, like, I guess I'm going to throw it at you as in, you like U2. You like U2. You followed U2. What was the one album that they made that made you kind of go, holy shit, what was that? And you weren't expecting
that was
the one. Okay,
Pop.
So Pop took you off the road a little bit. Now, after Pop, did they go back Because for me, Metallica went along, loved them.
Octane Baby,
huge,
right?
Huge commercial success. And then they put out some of their artsy fartsy albums. Then they put out a turd of an album. Then they did a Lou Reed
Saint Anger.
And now,
terrible.
Metallica is back to where I love them, and they're old men. I stuck with them, but didn't enjoy it. So I'm going to throw it at you as in with the U2.
U2 did go, they lost me for a little while, but that was fine. I didn't sit there and go, oh, they went all discotheque or whatever. I just like, okay, whatever.
Yep.
And they've come back. They made some great records. You know,
but that's the mature rock crowd compared to the metal crowd where we'll follow you to battle.
But
then all of a sudden, if you show up to battle and you're wearing a pink shirt, we're all looking at you going, I'm out.
Yeah, I don't get it. Every band changes. Every band evolves. Who can stay? Nobody wants to play the same shit.
Bands that have stayed the same. And in their music career, they never went up any further, and they never went down. They stayed right in the middle. They're making a comfortable living, and you can't, I'm going to say like Slayer. Slayer has really never changed from day one to the day they retired. They were right in the middle. Now, were they a huge success like Metallica? Absolutely not. Were they playing, you know, little Cumberland Farms? Absolutely not. They were playing mid-sized theaters, made a great life, and never changed. They never cut their hair off and said, hey, let's try some ballads. They never did.
And their audience is just as small as it's always been. And I'm not saying it's small, but it's never gotten bigger.
No.
It's never gotten bigger. And there's nothing wrong with you, Jimmy. I mean, like the comedy that you write is you. But you learn what works.
Nah, that's different, though, because with me, my audience is now my age. My audience enjoys marriage jokes. And I mean, everybody loves relationship jokes.
But it's the same thing with bands.
Yeah. But when I was younger, my whole act was about being single and dating.
Yeah.
And then when I got married and had children, and now I'm doing a ton of stuff about my children. But I think that's different because the audience is going to.
The thing about heavy metal and punk, like take the band Green Day, who comes out of the Bay Area and
They got buried by
their fans because they got successful. Weren't supposed to do that. I think that's bullshit.
Yeah, they couldn't hear their fans because they were sitting behind a wall of money.
That's punk. Punk went in and they said, hey, Laura, let me tune your guitar. You're not touching my guitar. It sounds like crap. They didn't take it serious. Most of them didn't know how to play their instruments, but they were punk. And then all of a sudden, when they were on Epitaph Records, a small little label, everybody went, I love these guys. And then when they signed the major, in the punk world, you just disrespected us.
Sold out.
You should have
absolutely.
Crap.
Should have kept living in that van.
You go back to eating mayonnaise sandwiches, and you guys should live in your base mom and dad's basements forever because that is so unpunk. No, I mean, most people join a band, it's a business, it's the music business, and you do want to climb
up the ladder. You want to make money,
you know. So, and some of it's jealousy, absolutely.
A huge amount of it is jealousy, and another is just like laziness. It's absolute laziness,
yeah. But also, if you have a formula and it works, I mean, there are certain musicians that have made giant careers out of doing the same thing over and over,
sure.
And when that album came out, you'd go, I'm getting that because I know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, I mean, AC/DC, still giving it. ZZ
Top.
I love it.
All right, so we're both huge ZZ Top fans, but they made a move towards the end there where they started doing, it got way too techno.
Electro,
whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
I mean, Van Halen, you got a friggin' guitar god. A guitar god. All of a sudden, the guitar god is playing the keyboard a little bit. Some people went,
Great record.
And then some people went, oh, they got Sammy Hagar.
Oh, well, don't do this. Some people and give me the side eye.
It's you.
Some people. It's Jimmy. It's you. Say Jimmy.
I don't know. It's just to
some
me,
people. But this just, one over here. Some people.
It just kills me though that you know bands work hard for success and anything that you think success doesn't matter is crap. They want to be able to, you know, they want to be able to live because especially musicians and bands beginning struggled. They were driving around in a stinky van.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what they don't want to do? Riding around in a stinky van.
But so you want
can't
them.
Smoke
you
a big cigar
a
and drive a
and
Cadillac car.
But you're wrong.
Yes.
You're wrong to deny them that. And if a band goes a different direction than you and it's not your band anymore, then so be it. But don't bitch about it because then you're just a cry, whining baby.
No, I agree. But in the music that I like,
yep.
You know, Metallica is the one that went to the top. There will never be another Metallica. And right. I always wonder sometimes, like, in the world of heavy metal, once Metallica has packed it up, we're going to just be dealing with a bunch of bands that went
mid-level.
Did this right here. Lamb of God, you know, great bands. I'm not putting
love
them down.
Not
but they
them.
But they are bands that aren't going to be filling Gillette, you know, two nights in a row.
Kelly, what is... Can you name me one Lamb of God song?
Porch Pirate.
Yeah, good, nice.
That's
nice.
Death.
Must be a new one.
That's from the live
Mint
album.
Jelly.
Yeah.
Mint
yeah.
Jelly.
Mint Jelly.
From Lamb of God. I remember that one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Orangutans and Pistachios. That's the album it came from,
oh,
by the way.
Oh, yeah.
Die Hard. One of my favorites.
Laura, you know, and when we would go see Metallica, me and Greg went and saw Ozfest. The kids behind us were yelling when Fred Durst...
It wasn't Ozfest. It was Metallica. With Limp Bizkit and the Deftones.
And they were yelling, you know, oh my God, they started doing Behind Blue Eyes. Fred Durst is the greatest writer ever. Yeah. And Greg turned around and schooled him like he should have. The whole place should have been shut down, and they should have had Greg on a loudspeaker going, Fred Durst did not write this friggin' song. Okay? This is...
I was nice about it. I wasn't a jerk.
It's sometimes the commercial success. When I went to Ozfest, people were like going, I'm like, I hope Sharon's going to be here. I hope Jack. And
exactly.
And like, no.
Scotty.
This is a metal festival.
Oh, he's such a great writer. And I look at Scotty, and Scotty's like, he's looking at me with the eyes. Like,
don't.
Do it.
Don't.
Do it.
So
wanted me to do
don't
it.
Don't do it.
So I'm like, guys, he didn't write this song. Yeah. What?
Listen, guys. And he didn't write Faith it. Either, but you know what? Just we'll let you have it.
Right.
Michael. George Michael's Faith?
Yeah. Yes. But it was, I've always kind of bristled at that denying a band its success. U2 went, I was a diehard. I loved all the early stuff, Rattle and Hum. And then they took a little bit of a left turn when they went the European mm-hmm. flip. Not my thing. I just let it go. And then two albums later, bam, right back in the pocket. But a mature version, a less.
When did they get back in the pocket?
Dude, Octum Baby was a huge worldwide smash.
Right, yeah.
And then the Horizon album, I forget the titles of that, but they're really good records.
No, they're great records, but
All That You Can't Leave Behind.
All That You Can't Leave Behind.
That's not a getting too big deal. That's not a selling out thing. That's a dramatic change in the music.
Yes.
The music changed dramatically.
It's a maturation. Yeah, and then they had to go put that album on all the iPods, and everybody hated them.
Yeah.
And they've never, I don't even know if their level of popularity is going to be matched by what they had earlier, although a lot of diehard fans, I mean, I'd still go see them.
They're the best live band I've ever seen.
They also had a thing. They also had a, you know, they had
political thing.
Bono problem.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Like, he's too earnest.
He just became...
Too preachy.
I don't want to say self-important, but...
Preachy. And to me personally, nothing worse than that.
Yeah.
One of the best bands to come out of New England, Stained. Loved them.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, hey, in between songs, I got to tell you my political views.
Yeah.
And he got you trapped. And then what happens is you go see him play a 90-minute set, and he's only really playing for 50 to 60 minutes.
No,
and the rest of the time, he's talking. And it's like... That's not what I'm paying
for.
U2
was trying to do the right thing politically.
Right.
They weren't trying to sell you one side or the other. They were trying to do the right thing. But a lot of people just kind of went, hey, man, I don't want to hear that.
But
I want to hear
the
music.
But if you go see the show, you know that it's not
preach.
That.
They don't
right.
preach.
It's not that. It's
right.
about love. It's about human, you know, but nobody's talking about, he may do 30 seconds, 20 seconds intro in one song, but it's not all night. Like, Aaron Lewis goes at it.
Yeah.
And he's got a right to do that.
Yeah.
But, you know, Bono gets a rap that I think is somewhat not deserved
as far as the live shows. Then tell me that when I'm buying tickets.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, we're going to play a 90-minute set, but here's the truth.
Yeah.
We're only playing 60, and I'm going to feed you a line of bullshit in between songs, my political views, and you have to sit through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No matter what your political views are.
Yeah.
Right.
And that sucks.
This is a good time to bring this up because of, you know, we're a week away, right?
Yeah.
But I never do any sort of political jokes on stage because immediately people aren't there for my politics. And also, you're going to lose half the audience mm-hmm. as soon as you tell the joke, before you even get to the punchline, even if it is funny, right? Even if it is whatever, one side's going to go, and there's certain comics that do political stuff. And when you go to see that comic,
you know that.
You know what you're going to get. Right,
I think Aaron Lewis fans, if they go to see him now, they have to know.
You have to know.
They have to know.
Yeah.
Because
go ahead.
They've seen him over the last 5 to 6 years. They've seen this.
Yeah, but that's not how they got on the map. And And the guy over the last couple of weeks, my Instagram feed has been a lot of politics from people that I don't follow for politics. Comedians, actors,
yeah,
guys who build hot rods.
Yeah, right.
Right? All of a sudden, I watch your hot rods, and now all of a sudden, for the next 3 weeks, you're going to use your... You're not changing any votes
one way or the other.
You're the hot rod guy. Stay in your lane.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? And you know, there are plenty of people that do it, musicians that from both sides, right? Like if you go see Ted Nugent, you should know at this point what you're going to get.
Right.
But I just want to hear Wang Dang Sweet Poo Tang.
Yeah.
Amen.
That doesn't surprise me that's the song that you go to hear.
And Jimmy, you know. I never saw Ted Nugent in the heyday. And
I did.
My brother did. My dad drove him to the Cumberland County Civic Center and kept getting outside going, what train is coming through here? And it was Ted Nugent's, you know, show.
Yeah,
right.
I
finally had a chance to see him like 15 years ago. He plays a song and it was so loud, and I like loud music, so loud. And then he talked for like 7 minutes about what's going on in the world of politics. And I went, come on, dude.
Yeah. I saw him shoot a flaming arrow across the casino ballroom, and my brother looked up and went, that's going to be a problem.
Yeah. In the casino ballroom, right?
Yeah, back in the day.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things. I'm the old guy. Like, I'm to the point now where I am 62. I don't feel like I'm 62, but sometimes I think like I'm 62. And I think like my dad, growing up, it was like, I asked him who he would vote for. He said, none of your damn business.
Yeah.
Everybody never seemed to be a lot happier then, you know, because now it's inescapable.
Yeah.
Between I haven't turned the TV on this week, and I will not turn it on, you know, and sit through ads or anything. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Wife and I were talking the other day watching TV, and, you know, the shows we watch at 7 o'clock. I'm 7:30. I'm watching Jeopardy.
Jeopardy. You're a Jeopardy guy.
Love Jeopardy. She loves Jeopardy. We watch, but the Jeopardy commercials have been taken over. We'll let it go through and then watch it so we can fast forward the commercials. But I actually said, you know, all the money that we pay for TV, you pay for this, you pay for that, you pay for this app. Some of them are great, like Paramount Plus is a fantastic value.
Yeah.
But... I would pay extra money
to not have the ads.
To not have political ads.
Yeah, right.
If you could do political ads.
Valerie asked me last night, how can the two, you know, in where I'm from, you know, it's the biggest, it's not even Trump or Harris. It's all about, Kelly and Joyce, right?
And it's all over the Boston stations.
Yeah. It's everywhere. Down in Rhode Island.
Huge money. And so Valerie's like, how can they afford it? I'm like, they're not paying for it.
No.
You think Kelly is paying for that? Kelly AI? You think Joyce Craig is? No, they have... Organizations are paying
Republican
for
Party and the Democratic Party.
And other PACs and things
PACs
like that.
And billions of dollars.
See, that's
millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah, they're paying it. So it's weird.
As long as they keep paying the radio.
That's right, buddy. Yep. We love it on the radio.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
See, and people bitch because they're getting played on the radio.
We got nothing to do with that.
Yeah, and they sit there and they're like, all you're playing is Kamala ads. You're so supporting her. I'm like, we have nothing to do with that.
I say we like they're running them by me.
Yeah, like she...
I don't even work yet.
If you're upset with somebody, Jimmy okayed all of this.
No,
send an email to Jimmy at morningbuzz.com.
But we get complaints. We get complaints about it. And I'm like, God, dude, they bought the ads. Now, the other side, Trump can buy ads, or he doesn't have to. But we have to, by law,
accept
political
ads. And I'll take it another step further that I maybe shouldn't be saying, but they get a rate.
Yeah,
They have a defined rate that anybody can get, which affects some businesses because during this season, you could sell those for a lot more money to Frugal Fanny.
Yeah, right. So it's you know, it's such a weird time. And I was talking to a friend of mine last night, and I was saying, look, I'm going to wake up and go to work.
Yeah.
I'm going to wake up and go to work. I mean, we're going to survive. Like, all this end of the world doom stuff is crazy.
It's not going to be the end of the world, but it's not going to be an ordinary Wednesday.
No, it's not. It'll be, I don't know what's
going to be. It might not even be Wednesday that we know.
Yeah, it's not going to be whatever. I don't expect it to go well, but I'm just going to be like, I'm going to get up. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to take care of my family. That's what I'm going to do. You know what I mean? And I can't give into the craziness.
It'll probably be Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday before they officially say it. And then Saturday night, come on out to
That's right.
The Rochester Opera House.
Election relief.
I'll tell some jokes, and I won't do any politics at all.
And you'll get, you know what you're going to get? You're going to get over an hour of not thinking about the laughter.
Just straight laughter. I mean? No politics.
Yeah, right. There it is.
And I'll tell you this. I'm going to still do some dick jokes. Jimmy hasn't changed. I'm true to what got me here.
Jimmy's great. Dick jokes, his kids.
Doesn't matter what side you vote for. A good dick joke is funny.
That's it.
You know what else? I love a waffle joke. I got
some waffle jokes.
Got waffle jokes. He's good. But if I could say anything to, and we don't talk about politics. I know it's almost inevitable that it comes up in the news, obviously, but let's just step back from the edge. That's all. I don't care. You vote for who you want. I don't care. I'm not telling you to vote for. I don't care. Just step back from the edge.
Yeah.
Okay?
And don't agitate, because the reality of it is whoever wins, about 49% of the country voted for the other person.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
So there's going to be some... It's like a football game when you win because a guy hit the goalpost.
Yeah.
It's
pretty close.
It's going to be close, but it's going to be like, look, just because you won, that doesn't mean everything's going that way or everything's going this way. Let's try and put it in a happy zone.
Well, look at the bright side.
Jimmy Dunn, 2025.
All the ads will stop.
Yes. And we'll get frugal Fanny back. I'm Jay Kennedy, Kennedy Carpets. Did you cat go on the carpet? Give us a call.
1-800-CARS-FOR-KIDS. All right. We got to go. A lot to do today. Busy. All right. Well, Kelly, have a great day.
You too, buddy.
Scotty, have a great day.
You too, my friend.
Jimmy, thanks. Always good to see you, buddy.
Great to be
here. Have a great day. Don't forget, Saturday night, he is live.
So every Saturday night, I'm live. Go to jimmydunn.com and come see the show, man.
Laura, have a lovely day.
You too.
We'll see you all tomorrow, 5:30. Thank you.